Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. Judith Glazer is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Judith is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. She is the lady who joins us quite often to talk to us about ourselves, about the way we do things that we do, about leadership, which is a very important topic. She is the author of The DNA of Leadership. She also is the editor of a book called 42 Rules for Creating We, and she is an international consultant to folks like you and me to help us put our best foot forward in the marketplace, and she's our good friend Judy. Welcome back to the show.
It's great to be back.
It's good to have you back. Now, you've just recently returned from China, and I want to talk to you about that in a little bit, but before maybe we can talk about that in the next segment. I want you to tell us a little bit about what you learned over there, but first, I want to talk about something that I know you spend a lot of time on, and that is what you call gender consciousness in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm assuming, Judy, that you mean that women should be more conscious of men in the workplace. Is that what you mean by gender?
You're teasing me.
No, wait a minute. You mean that's not it?
Actually, you're teasing me, but it is it. It is it. What we've been doing is slanting it either one way or the other way.
And I think men are so fascinating you should be more conscious of us.
Well, I think men have been given a bad rap. I'll say that right up front. Women have said so long that men don't have feelings or they don't bring their emotions except anger and, you know, power to work.
Aggression.
Yeah, aggression. And it's just all of this has given men a bad rap just as much as women have gotten a bad rap. So
I'm in touch with my feminine side. I have several pink shirts.
And purple.
Yeah, I got purple ties. No purple shirts. But I only wear the purple ties because I know women like them.
They do.
I love that part. Yeah.
Purple's a royal color.
And the green, the bright green, too. They like those, too. So what are we talking about here?
Well, what we're talking about is that we've learned a lot over the last couple of years about how the brain works with the ability to use a machine called the fMRI, or functional magnetic resonance imaging.
Right.
That we go inside and see how the brain works. And so there are a lot of things about men's brains and women's brains that are teaching us that there are differences between how they process the world.
No big surprise there.
Right, exactly. And it's good to understand what they are. However, things like intelligence, it doesn't mean that men are smarter, even though they might want to think so, than women. The issue is not about intelligence. It's that takes place, you know, independently of your gender.
But men think that they're smarter than they are. And women think that they're not as smart as they are.
Yes.
Now, that's a phenomenon that I've noticed in my life.
It's called a cognitive bias. And the male's bias is more than, and the women's is less than.
And the truth is, in a competitive world, if faking it till you make it is a phenomenon that works more than not, that's an advantage for men.
Well, this is what's so cool about what you just said. You know, I love to double-click on, you always say great things of wisdom, and then I love to explore it with you.
she tells me I'm wise just before she zings me, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Go ahead, Judy.
The fake it till you make it is that we've learned there's a part of the brain called the prefrontal cortex, which is the newest part, the executive brain. Men have it, women have it. It's the part that we're developing now from an evolutionary standpoint. And this is the part that enables us to imagine ourselves doing things in our mind before we do them.
Right.
Some people go to that type of imaging and picture bad pictures about themselves.
Right.
And what they do is create the ability to step into the bad picture. They've literally opened that door. But as you said, if we can image ourselves doing something, it's the best way to practice anything. You know, you can actually practice music in your brain, playing the piano in your brain, and end up playing it better when you sit down at the piano, just from the brain imaging. And that's true of almost anything in our life.
What about role-playing what may be about to happen?
Again, role-playing breaks most...
Because I've been doing that all my life.
Yeah, well, then you...
Seriously.
No, and seriously, this is what it does. It, for most people, the feared implications of what's going to happen stop us from stepping into authenticity with people or trust with people. And you know we talk about trust a lot,
you and I.
But the feared implications of what might happen, that's the bad image, often stops us from actually addressing the person in an honest and forthright way. But if we do this role-playing that you're talking about, we realize that in that role, we don't have the fear that's really what we thought we would have, the implication, the feared implication.
But,
that's gone.
But where? How does all this fit into you and me being different genders, working together and being more tolerant and conscious and supportive of each other?
If we imagine that another person is bad, or if I imagine that men are really aggressive, and I put that word aggressive in my mind, my imagination about who you would be makes you show up that way in my mind.
So you're saying not only do I have this image of myself in my prefrontal cortex, I also have an image of you in there.
Absolutely. And in fact, we have mirror neurons. We have special things. The word mirror is such a beautiful word because for me to understand you, something has to happen in my brain for me to see you in a mirror in
right.
my mind. Right.
Right.
And so if the real authentic mirror neuron is for me to actually listen to you and hear you and sense you and pick it up from your real energy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's using the prefrontal cortex and mirror neurons at their best. But what we've learned to do and reinforce so much is what's called the neocortex, or where we label people a certain way and experience people through the label, which mm-hmm. is not who you really are. That's why we use the word authenticity.
So what's the application of all this? How do we apply this?
That we have to, first of all, be aware of our biases. Be aware of our stereotypes
mm-hmm.
and challenge them with every human being.
So if every time, if there's any person or any gender or any scenario that before you get there, you preconceived how they're going to behave, you need to sort of haul yourself up short a little bit and say, okay, give this a chance. Do a little role playing and say, maybe I should give this or this person a chance.
Right. And you say to yourself, maybe this is not true. Maybe
right.
the reality that I've just imagined is not true.
What if I'm wrong?
What if I'm wrong? Great. What if I'm wrong?
Yeah.
What is it? What if is a great expression.
Well, how many times have we looked at someone and the first visual impression was not good at all?
Mm-hmm.
They just completely are the opposite of our paradigm of what that person should look like. And so we begin to write them off, and then in that day or a year later or 10 years later, we get to know them a little bit and realize that they're exactly the kind of person we want to be around.
Somebody did a study, and this is not about gender, but it's about the point you're making. They took a very, very famous violinist and put him in Central Park in ragged clothes like he was, you know, a homeless man, and he was playing the music. And he was playing music as beautifully as he did at Carnegie Hall.
Right.
But because of the clothes that he was wearing, people ignored him.
Right.
And that's what happens in our
uh-huh.
life. It's what happens in our life.
Absolutely.
So how do we get in front? How do we realize that that's what human nature is all about?
Well, we have to get over ourselves first, Judy. That's the main thing we have to do. Hold on to that thought. Judith Glaser is our guest. Her book is called The DNA of Leadership. I'm Jim Blasting, Games 20 After. We'll be right back.
And do it all day.
Little Chicago bringing us back, 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to check. We got a poll question on the homepage there. I hope you go there. Just go to smallbusinessadvocate.com or jimblasingame.com. That'll get you to the same place. And click on the poll question, or look at the poll question, answer the question, click on your answer, and then submit it, and you'll see where you stack. How your answer compares to everybody else who's voted so far. And don't forget, you can subscribe to my free newsletter there. We'll send you that by email every Sunday afternoon. Lots and lots of other stuff, articles, archives, Brain Trust members, thousands of each one of those. And all that, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Judith Glaser is our guest, folks, and that's Glaser with an S. And she's the author of Creating We, also the DNA of Leadership. Judith, tell us how we can find you, please.
www.creatingwe.com.
And she's and also your books are available wherever books are sold.
Exactly.
And all that's
exactly.
there at her site as well. So check that out, folks. Judith, you've just gotten back from the Middle East and from the Far East.
Uh-huh.
And I'd like to invite you back again soon, and maybe in a week or two.
Okay.
If you will, I want to hear more about your trip, but I didn't want to give a short shrift to this topic that we're talking about right now.
Yeah.
So we're going to look forward to you coming back and talking about your trip and what you learned in China and what you learned in the Middle East. But I want to come back to this to the topic at hand, which is gender consciousness in the workplace. I think that there's two things going on with regard to gender consciousness. And I joked about it earlier, but I do believe this is the case. I believe men are not conscious enough of women in the workplace, mm-hmm. and women are too conscious of men in the workplace. What do you think? I think, let me tell you a couple of quick stories.
Please.
I was talking to a friend of mine who's from California, a member of my brain trust, and she was a little exasperated. She has a great marriage. Her husband's a great guy, and they get along great. They travel all over the world. But she was exasperated with him one day. And she said, I said, what's the matter? She said, you men, you're so good at getting your needs met. And then I was watching, my wife and I were watching the John Adams series again on HBO. Mm-hmm. And the daughter was asking Abigail, the mother, why do the boys get to have all the fun? Mm-hmm. And she said, because we let them.
I agree with that.
And so that's my point, that men are less, you know, we're just not as
not
sensitive
as
to, and as maybe we should be. And women are a little more deferential to men. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I think it's been set up so much by our stereotypes that there are all sorts of labels that we give to men, to women that make us feel bad about ourselves, that there's a sensitivity to coming out. There's a sensitivity to knowing how to behave sometimes.
But don't you think it's more than just environmental? It's more than just stereotype. There's a lot of, you of all people, you know that all the factors that are there. I mean, the brain patterns, the hormonal differences, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, so this is where we're now at a really interesting place. I have a colleague who has a company called CDR, and they do assessments. And I asked her, my friend Nancy Parsons, to give me a list of the risks that have to do with gender issues and gender challenges, so perceptions of leaders' risks.
Yeah.
You just brought up one of those risks, for example. The feeling that women have, they get their periods, and therefore...
I didn't say anything about that.
You didn't say that, but it's called hyper moody. This is a risk.
No, I wasn't talking about anything out of control. I just mean literally the hormones I live with, the hormones you live with.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not talking about anything like that now.
Okay, well, so where my mind goes to is what happens in the workplace, that as soon as people start to bring up, you know, mood or
No, that's not what I'm talking about.
It's not what you meant, but it's the way people listen.
I think there is that in the workplace.
That's
I definitely
right.
agree with you that there is that in the workplace, but I promise that's not what I meant.
No, okay, and I accept how you believe, but what I wanted to bring up is that these perceptions of risks are part of what causes the gender issues and stereotypes. I have a bunch of the risks here, and I'll give you an example of how we define it for women and how we define it for men in the workplace. Okay, this is just research, all right? So when you see somebody who's hyper moody, that's a risk, okay, whether it's male or female. But when they think about it in terms of women, they say, oh, she's having PMS or it's that kind of a month, okay? But
so the guy's a jerk and the woman's going through a stage.
No, well, the man is intense. Hyper moody, but the woman has PMS, right?
No, I think they're jerks.
Okay, so here's another.
Because I don't like moody people either, you know, whether they're male or female.
Well, that's it's a risk either way.
Yeah.
You know, so we all have to learn how to do it better. But it's interesting how the labels, the definitions, it's like there's a dictionary for men and a dictionary for women.
Right.
Okay, so upstaging is another risk. Whether you're male or female, if people upstage each other, it's not good, right? So
right.
They say for women that they're too opinionated. But they say for men that he's selling his point of view.
Ah.
Okay?
Yep.
So, and this
I agree that it's a harder thing for women to pull off.
Yeah.
And it's because when men raise their voice, they get louder.
Yeah.
When women raise their voice, they get shriller.
Yeah.
And that's all part, that goes back to what I was talking about a minute ago.
It's the biology.
Exactly. I should have used that word. I didn't mean to use, I should have used biology.
Yeah.
Because I do think that there's estrogen manifests itself differently than testosterone.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what I was getting at. So,
yeah.
I mean, I agree with you. Have we solved anything quickly today, Judy?
Do we have any answers, big answers?
What are the answers? Well, you know, one of the problems, you know the problem with humanity, don't you, Judy?
What?
The humans. Judy, give us that website one more time, please.
www.creatingwe.com.
And you're going to come back real soon. We're going to talk about China and the Middle East, right?
You bet.
Thank you for being here. Judith Glaser, ladies and gentlemen, Glaser, the DNA of leadership, also Creating We, whatever, wherever you find Judy, it's good stuff, I promise. Quick break, stay with me. 29 after. I didn't get in too much trouble that time.
Sinsperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.